This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Red Circle. Also, the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, turn the notifications on. Also, subscribe to Off the Floor. It's right here in the description on the YouTube page, also on the podcast feeds, and at the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. We reached 200 members, so we appreciate that, and lively chats going on pretty much 24-7. Get off of Twitter. You don't want the other clutter. You just want to talk Heat. So come over there with us. You'll also get updates from all four of us all during the day, during games, off days, and everything else. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes our friends over at All Pro Construction Builders. Danny and his family, Danny and his crew, fully certified. You need storm windows, storm doors, because we know in South Florida, it is always hurricane season. They are based in Miami. You can reach out to them, 305-484-4429, 305-484-4429. Also, allproconstructionbuilders.com or All Pro Construction Builders on Instagram. Huge Miami Heat fans, but mostly they just know what they're doing with this stuff. And they can get you the renovations for your property as well. We know right now, 8% interest rates, hard to find a house. So make the one you're in look nicer. Reach out to All Pro Construction Builders. Again, Danny, 305-484-4429. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes.
Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and Five Reasons Sports. We got Alex Toledo back from the dead. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And we've got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. Check out the episode that I did with Greg Sylvander. It was supposed to be 20 minutes. It went 39 minutes. So you can break it up into chunks if you'd like. We went back through the Dame Lillard trade that was and that wasn't. 10 games into the Heat season. From the Heat perspective, Dame's perspective, the Bucks perspective, and unfortunately for them, the Blazers perspective. So make sure that you check that out. We know that you wanted more Dame content. We didn't give you enough this summer. But today we're going to focus on somebody who's actually on the Miami Heat, and he's making the leap. And I made the point the other night that, at least my untrained eyes here, this is the biggest leap he's made since he became a starter. And to me, his starter leap, even when he became a starter, or, you know, Hassan Whiteside sort of pushed to the side after Bam had backed him up. To me, the leap to starter is the hardest when you're going from role player to starter, because your minutes are increasing and you are expected to do more. So, yes, statistically, the raw numbers are going to go up, but it's what you actually do in each of those minutes. And I thought that Bam, when he became a starter, proved why he should be the starter long term. And again, that's the hardest thing for a young player, particularly one who's picked in the teens, to do. I mean, Bam was not a top five pick. He was 14th overall. And all through his career, all the way up into Kentucky, he was not a number one option. He was a guy who was a third or fourth player on a particular team. He showed that he, again, could be a long-term starter for the Heat. We know that obviously he's become a max player. But there have been leaps, guys, like season to season. There have been small sort of subtle things that he's done better, even if it hasn't been fast enough or sort of great enough for the fan base to truly appreciate it. It cannot be ignored now. I mean, just the raw numbers alone. There are only two bigs in the entire NBA playing better than him right now. And that's Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, the last two MVPs. And the only other guy who's even in his class, he outplayed before the player, of course, as he always does, got hurt here in Miami, which was Anthony Davis. The guy who's beaten him out for Defensive Player of the Year, Jaren Jackson Jr., Bam schooled him in this last matchup this past week. So he's basically taking down one big at a time. We haven't seen him against Jokic or Embiid yet, but again, the problems that Jokic presents, he presents to everybody, but we've seen Bam have success against Embiid. But I'll go to you first, Alex, on this. Give me the single biggest thing that has impressed you about Bam's start, a start that right now is what, 23, 12, 4, shooting 53% from the floor, playing the same 34.6 minutes he did last season, but everything, literally, everything is up. Assists are up. Rebounds are up. The shooting percentage slightly down, but that's come up lately. The blocks are up. He's just a much better player. But what sticks out to you the most?
Honestly, I hate that you're making me pick just one thing, because it just looking through the stats here, there's multiple things that have gotten better for Bam. And honestly, it's become customary for him. He's gotten better every single year he's been in the league, and the numbers also back that up. But if you're just telling me to pick one, and I know you guys have touched on this in the past few days, especially while I've been gone, but the free throw attempts, like that's, I think what we wanted to see the most is his, you know, him balancing out the rim attacks versus the mid-range shooting. And that doesn't mean pick one or the other. It means find that balance. It means figure out, you know, when to attack, when to take the shot, and do it decisively. And I think that's kind of where Bam has really polished up his game. And that's another thing we talked about all summer. It's like, it's not that he added something to his game. He just got better at what he's already very good at, because he wasn't bad at free throws before or anything like that. But like he is putting up a career best free throw attempts per 75, and it's by a good amount. It's at 8.1 right now. And the highest he had before was two seasons before, which was 6.9. So it's a pretty good bump there. And you'd love to see it, because, you know, if you look at some of these other numbers here, like the rim attempts per 75 are down, but because the free throw attempts are up, you know that he's doing the right thing there. Like he might not be getting as many, points at the rim as he has in the last year, but he's kind of making up for it with the amount of times he's getting to the free throw line. And on top of that, you know, he has upped the mid-range attempts by a good amount too, not by just like a marginal amount. He's taking about 2.5 more per 75, and he is in the 99th percentile in mid-range attempts per 75. And despite that, like still shooting at a pretty good amount, pretty much right where he was last season, around 45%. He was at 46% last season. And the way he gets to it, the comfort he gets to it with, it's really just an extension of what we saw last season. I think he looks even more decisive. There's no hesitation in his game. He's playing like a leader on both ends. He's playing like he knows he is that guy. And I didn't really have any doubts about it. It's just cool to see, because there was that point last season towards the end where Jimmy kind of became the guy who was giving you the more impressive outings in the last month or so, maybe 2 months of the season, and Bam's production went down a little bit. It feels like we're right back to the start of last season, except with an improved Bam. Like he just looks more confident and just looks overall like an even better version of himself. Like you would think with some of the increased usage and shot attempts, like there would be less efficiency, especially because there's so much of a bump in the mid-range stuff, and it's just not the case. Every year that he's been in the league, the assisted buckets, the percentage gets lower. So he's getting, you know, more on his own as the years go on. There's not a single year where it doesn't get better. You see the same thing when it comes to points per 75. You see the same thing when it comes to field goal attempts per 75. Every single season Bam has been in the league, these things have gotten better. So I think that's why we all, you know, to different degrees, had kind of like expectations that he would be able to get to this. And it's cool to see that we're here. Now it's just all about, you know, sustaining it for the rest of the season. But this is a leap.
Brady, we talk, we're going to get to, it's just more of a big picture discussion in the second half of the episode of where he fits in the league. But Alex is talking about him just doing the things he did before better in every area. But we used to talk a lot about disposition with him, and that it wasn't the inability to do certain things, but it was, and not even the desire to do certain things, but just the willingness to be that guy, to force the action. Do you see this as more of a disposition improvement from him, if we want to call it that? Or is this skills improvement?
I would lean probably in the direction of it's just his disposition, willing to take these shots, just because kind of the stuff that Alex was talking about, he's getting to the line more because he's putting his head down more and trying to get to the rim more. He's having success in the mid-range because he's taking more of these shots. So I think it more is – it's always been a mindset for him, and I think that's why he had the no-ceiling title, was because he has the ability to do so much. It's just not limiting himself within the offense to do it, and not turning and looking for a dunk and handoff, or turning to look the playmaker, trying to find a better shot. Like, no, sometimes the best shot on the floor is just you just going. And I think now they're kind of realizing that's what the kind of the spot you're at. I'm glad Alex talked a lot about the free throw shooting, because that is probably a primary leap here. Because I hate that we always had this question thrown at us where it was everybody in the discussion of Bam was like, should he try to like get to the rim more, or should he lean on the mid-range jumper more? How about both? Like, that's kind of the point he's at. Like, he's putting his head down and he's doing the things Alex was talking about. But I just continue to be amazed by the mid-range stuff and the jumper in general, because what we've seen specifically over the past 48 hours in these past two games, where almost his entire offense is coming from this jumper, and he's just doing it in different ways. It is like last year was possibly a bigger leap than this one, just in terms of like going from one thing to the next, because initially taking that leap to take those jumpers I thought was huge. But then now perfecting it and adding on to it and adding new counters and doing this stuff, like, number one, there's no altering his shot. Like, he has such a high release point when he goes up over the top of somebody. It doesn't matter who it is. You're not really changing anything about it. And then I'm watching him now. Like, we always talked about the jab. That was his one thing he had with the jumper. If he jabbed, that's his comfort spot. He's getting into that jumper immediately. Now he's doing stuff where he's just turning hips, and he's doing – if he gets over that left shoulder, has that little fadeaway now that I think he feels really comfortable with. He has these little things to his game that's just really loud. And speaking of some of the numbers, I was looking at, like, the ways that he gets his jumpers last year compared to now. Catch and shoot jumpers. So catch and shoot mid-range jumpers. He was at 1.8 attempts last year. He was at 3.1 this year, which basically means coming off the roll and just taking that shot. So more often than not, he's taking that shot off the roll than he did last year. Then there's just pure pull-ups where he's just getting the ball and going off the dribble and taking those shots. He was at 3.1 attempts last year. This year he's at 4.8. Like, so two major jumps in that area that he's willing to take it. And the efficiency is better in both cases. So it's like, it's not a case where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to get my attempts up and then I'm going to try to figure out my efficiency from there and kind of find my spot. Like, no, that he has it, and it's just consistently there. He still has the stuff where he's getting to that dotted line, but it's not as much, because I remember when it was like a lot of his game was getting kind of really low in the paint. So he's turned those into rim attempts, and he's backed up more to kind of play a little farther out, the elbow extended. So just the overall shot diet for him has just been amazing to see. And yeah, the aggression and willingness to do it seems to stick out more.
And he's doing it with different players on the floor. We know he has a comfort level with Tyler in the pick and roll, hasn't had Tyler for the past 2.5 games, hasn't mattered. We know that he used to lean on Duncan in a lot of different ways. He is getting more reps with Duncan now, but they're different kind of reps. We've talked about Duncan being more of a creator. It's not all the dribble handoff stuff that we used to see, where sometimes Bam would lean on him. You mentioned the shot attempt increases. Pat Riley said he wanted Bam to get to 15 shots. Last year, he ended up at 14.9. He was at 16 before the All-Star break. He's at 16 right now. And so I think one of the questions that people will have is, can he sustain this throughout the season? It seems like they're going to need him to, if Jimmy's not going to pick up his own shots at this point. And again, without Tyler for a few weeks. I know, Alex, you have a few more Bam stats, and then I want to get into the defensive part of this, because it's easy for us to simply say he's just a great defender. He's a top three defender. He should be defensive player of the year. But he is defending differently this year. I know, Brady, you highlighted that in a thread. So, Alex, throw us some of those stats, and then we'll get to some of the defense, and then we'll put this into perspective in the last half of the episode.
I'm glad you made that clear about that. We're going to, you know, go over the defense, because I was going to throw out some defense, but I have more. I have more that isn't defense, so don't worry about it. I'll just save that for the second half here. But as far as the offensive side of the floor, to kind of piggyback off of what we were talking about, you know, even though the usage is up, which, by the way, it's up by the biggest, like, year-to-year jump that he's had in his career by far. So last year, which that's another stat, by the way, as I'm looking at it, has gone up every single year, even if incrementally. But like I said, this year is the biggest year-to-year jump. So last year, which was the previous high for him, was the usage was at 25.2. This year it's at 28.1. So a 3% usage is a pretty, pretty big jump. And, you know, despite that, the efficiency is still there. We've already went over, like, how awesome he's looked with the mid-range. And, you know, that shot is absolutely butter. Like Brady was talking about, he has the counters. He just looks like a guy who has figured out his game and how to get to it. And, you know, what are the different ways he can react when the defense takes away one shot or the other. And the way he gets to it is super decisive. Not only that, he's finishing at the rim at the highest percentage that, you know, his career high percentage at the rim, which is at 71.5 right now, 83rd percentile in the league. So, again, just more to kind of support that Bam is, you know, he is not only sustaining efficiency with higher usage, he's kind of gotten better with higher usage and has only looked better, not only statistically, but skill-wise and, you know, with what you guys were talking about, disposition-wise, demeanor-wise, like everything that you wanted to see from him offensively, it's happening. And I think that's why we've been kind of like preaching patience throughout the years here with Bam. And I know it's tough sometimes, right, with Heat fans, because it's like, you know, you're in these chances to win now. And, you know, they've got it really far with him there. And, you know, he's doing the things you want to see. And I think this is going to be huge. And we're going to get into this too. So I'll stop myself, but it's going to be huge to, you know, continue this Jimmy era.
Yeah. And the thing about it that you mentioned is that he's gotten more efficient with the more that he's done. I'm not surprised by that, because if it was a disposition issue, it is about belief. And so as you're doing better with more reps, your efficiency is going to continue to go up because you have the confidence to get to those spots again. Some of this was just Bam sort of retreating for others, okay, when nobody was asking him to. It's just kind of been his nature to do that. He's not doing that anymore. And honestly, there's nobody who wants him to take a step back. This is not a situation where you're like, what, when we talked about the Tyler Jimmy dynamic at the beginning of the year, Brady, there is a little push-pull there. There is, okay, one guy does more, so the other guy does a little less. We can argue about how much they add to each other or take away from each other, but there clearly is. There's some zero-sum game that goes on there. There's not with Bam. Like, if Bam is just more aggressive and more efficient, it's good. That's not taking away from anyone else. If he's shooting that mid-range with confidence, if he's taking his guy off the dribble, forget the three. He made a three this season. He doesn't have to make another one. It's the other stuff, and it's getting to the line and being efficient at the line. Because for a big, he's a good free throw shooter. We've talked about that. Like, so get there more often. He's not a guy who wilts in the big situations. And, you know, I mentioned the other night that I see some an old number three in him with some of his mannerisms, but there's a lot of number one. People pointed it out to me. He's getting more Bosh in his game. There are things that Chris used to do, you're seeing Bam do. I want to pivot real quick here, though, to the defense, because Brady, again, it's easy to just say he's the best defender in the world. We think he is, okay? I think collectively we think he should have had a defensive player of the year already, but he's defending differently, right?
100%. And there's probably a little bias involved because we constantly just push the Bam defensive player of the year narrative, like even before the season, before he even plays games. But like, he's actually doing stuff defensively that warrants a lot of this. For number one, you were mentioning kind of the people in his class and the bigs in his class. Well, like, just look at the people that are on defensive player of the year ladders and the guys that he's faced recently, like Wemby, for example, is on the defensive player of the year ladder. And he just gave them what exactly? 24, 11, and 6. You go a game before that against Jaren Jackson Jr., 30-11 with 3 blocks and a steal. Game before that, Anthony Davis, another guy on the defensive player of the year, ladder. 22-19-10, two steals, two blocks. Like, he's, it feels like every game he plays, defensively year player type player, he has a little more juice to him. But we know at this stage, everybody knows Bam can lock up your point guard. Everybody knows he can lock up your shooting guard, your forwards, everything, one through five. But, like, they're at the point now where he doesn't have to do that. And that's what everybody's been wanting to see for so long, that you can mix in more stuff. And now they're at the point where he's playing on a lot more drop. He's playing with a lot more things going toward the rim. And that's why you're seeing the rebound numbers the way that they are, because he's playing close to the rim. And I'm also watching him do this thing where he's making plays that are not normal on pick and rolls in that drop, where they throw the lob over the top, for example, last night to Wemby and late in the game. And he makes a deflection at the rim and throws it kind of in the other direction. So many teams have done that, and he does that so well, where he's not looked at as a rim protector, quote unquote, because he just does so many of the other things well. But this stuff that he's doing in that area is the reason there is true versatility. The versatility isn't because he can guard point guards. Like, we know that. The versatility is because he could guard your point guard and do the stuff and drop and play the weak side and cover everything up and be a walking defensive unit. Like, it's just, this is the reason why you're seeing that. So I think he's had a really great defensive year so far. Even individually, you see some numbers of kind of just the, I'll look after games to kind of see what he's done against kind of individual guys. And every time he's like, it's really bad percentages. And when you're talking about a guy like Bam, who's playing in drop, usually like that, and those numbers will be better because there's just a lot of shots in front of Bam. So he gets characterized as the defender. As for like a Haywood Highsmith, maybe only has 8 or 9 shots against him because it's all perimeter shots. Bam will have like 20 shots against him because it's all stuff in the mid range and in lane. He's still causing absolute havoc in the field goal percentage kind of range. So I just think he's had a great year. And the fact that he's Ethan, you've mentioned this before, and this was before the probably both leaps, where you said him being better offensively probably helps his defensive player of the year case more. Well, him playing like this, getting on people's radars, being on an all-star team, and doing all this stuff, this is what can really get him that recognition. Maybe not more than the other people that seem to be on ESPN every day, like Wemby, that's already being crowned as the best defender in the league, or Anthony Davis because he's on the Lakers. But this is a guy that's playing really high-level basketball in general, and it's still happening on the defensive end.
Here's the biggest thing, and you got to it. And then, Alex, you can get to the defensive stats. And then on the other side of this, we'll get to putting this into some sort of greater context. He's making life difficult for these other so-called elite defensive bigs who also can play offense, like a Wemby, like an AD, like a Jaren Jackson. They're not making it difficult on him. So if that's the case, don't we need to reclassify where he is in the league? I mean, it's one thing to be doing it against Clint Capella, okay, who he was compared to when he came out of college, right? Maybe, although Pat was comparing him to Sean Kemp, okay? And that's, again, pre-weight gain Sean Kemp, pre-out-of-the-league Sean Kemp. But when Sean Kemp was a force of nature playing for Seattle, he looks better than these guys. So if they can't defend him, and he can defend them, why is he not in the top five in the defensive player of the year ladder? And that's the other thing. And Brady, you mentioned, I've said this repeatedly, him becoming a more dynamic, consistent offensive force, as stupid as this sounds, makes him more of a defensive player of the year candidate. It's why Derek Jeter kept winning gold gloves, even though he was like the 12th best shortstop defensively, because by all the metrics, because he made big plays with his bat, okay, in games that matter. It's one of the dumbest things ever. Like, Kobe won some was first team all defense in years he shouldn't have been. We've seen this with guys all the time. It is because they get more noticed, and it's like, oh, the guy plays defense too. But that's going to happen with Bam. But I don't know if it's going to happen totally this year. Alex, throw some defensive numbers out there.
Well, nothing too crazy here, just that, you know, he's to confirm everything you guys have been talking about and what Brady was talking about, you know, highest defensive rebound percentage of his career by a little bit, not by an insane amount, but and highest block percentage by a pretty nice margin in his career, too. And I 100% agree with Brady that it has to do with more of, you know, the fact that it's he's in drop a little bit more often now. And this the highest block percentage that I mentioned, that, you know, it's the highest he's had since the first year of the Jimmy era. And I don't think that's a coincidence, because he was in drop a good amount more during that season. Because if you remember that Crowder and Iguodala and Solomon Hill trade, which is when they kind of, turned into more of a switch heavy team, they didn't play that many games with that team. So that the majority of that season, he was in a drop, not 100% of the time, but, the majority of the time. And I think keeping him closer to the rim, it's absolutely going to help his Defensive Player of the Year candidacy even more than what you're talking about, Ethan, with the scoring, which will help just, I think, his name, right? And the fact that, they've gone so far with him as the second best player over and over and over. Like, I think you can't sleep on him anymore. Everybody realizes how dynamic he is. Maybe they don't realize it to the same degree that we do, but I don't think he is a low-key type of defensive player anymore. He should be higher. He should be higher on these lists. I think if you're going to have him closer to the rim, the way you're seeing it now, the increased stocks, the increased rebounding, like, this is the formula. This is the formula. Now, what it ends up coming down to is the Heat having to sustain, I think, an elite defense throughout the season, which I think they still have some upside there. I don't think they've reached anywhere near their defensive ceiling. Not that it's been bad or anything, but I expect more, because I expect an upgraded defense from last season, which was already pretty damn elite. So I think if the Heat can get to that point where they're just kind of hanging around elite on the defensive end throughout the season, that's kind of, I think that's where Bam, gets put in the sweet spot with the voters, especially if the Heat aren't kind of like, around 500 all year. If they can just be a pretty good team and you don't have to worry about them being like a 9 seed or something, that probably makes voters feel better about voting him too. I just think Bam is the best version of himself, the most all-around version. He's gotten better every year. And with what he does on defense, man, like Brady said, like he does everything. He can guard everybody. And even with like that caveat that we've always thrown around, like that, he struggled with Jokic. He did a great damn job on Jokic when it mattered the most in the finals. So I fully believe Bam is the best defender in the league, can guard anybody in the league, whether it's, on ball, off ball. He's about as close as you can get to an A-plus perfect defender. So not to go overboard. I just think it's hard to go overboard on Bam because of how much he's shown on that end. Like he's a do everything for you on that end.
Well, they're ninth in defensive rating coming into tonight. So that's been climbing up, expecting to see Caleb come back at some point. Hawkes has obviously been a revelation on that end. His minutes are going up. Highsmith in the starting lineup helps defensively quite a bit. So I would anticipate they're going to be top five.
One more stat here. Now that you mentioned the team's defensive rating, I just did a quick look at their adjusted defensive rating. Shout out Dunks and Threes. So basically what the only thing that adjusts for is strength of schedule. So if you do that, the Heat have the sixth best adjusted defensive rating. So there you go.
All right. So on the other side, we're going to do this rapid fire, and I'm holding this to you. This is going to be quick take reactions, 24 seconds. I've got my stopwatch, and we're going to close it that way. I'm going to throw this at you, and you can't say this is a tough question. They're going to be tough questions. I'm telling you, okay? From the very start here, we do want to mention one of our sponsors, Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN, get $20 to play. NBA tournaments are just $3 that we run. The NFL tournaments are just $10. You've got plenty to play with then. So use the code 5RSN. Again, this is free money that they're giving you. This is legal sports betting. You're betting against others who use it. It's social sports betting. You're not betting against a bookie or against the app or anything like that. And they're based in Minneapolis. So no fear, no concern. Find the line that you want. Enter our tournaments. Go to BetterEdge, that's with an O.com. And use the code 5RSN. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handled. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well, and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, you ready? 24 seconds. I've got the stopwatch, okay? I'm going to clock you guys on this right here. All right, ready? And again, I mean, you can put your Homer hats on. I don't care, but as long as you answer within 24 seconds. Brady Hawk, is Bam Adebayo now the best player on the Miami Heat?
Right now? Like in November?
I'm not. I'm just saying, is he the best player on the Miami Heat? You got 11 seconds.
In the regular season, absolutely. I think right now, at this current moment when you ask me this question, he is. Will he be in a few months? That will be determined.
Buzz, 23.39. Look at that. Okay, so now we reset it. Alex, right now, you can have Bam Adebayo or Anthony Davis. Who do you choose?
Bam. I don't need 24 seconds. Bam. I think Bam is better at AD, at what he does. I think they both have similar skill sets. And I think Bam is just way more durable. It's no hate towards AD. Don't even show me that shot clock. I don't need it. I think Bam is better than AD right now, and that's not even disrespectful. I don't think AD is at the top of his game anymore. Still great at what he does. Bam is better. I'm taking Bam right now.
Oh, you've made it when you said 6.5 seconds, and we ended up at 24.26. That's all right. I'll give it to you. The refs are blind. We know that these days. Brady, is Bam Adebayo, in your definition, a superstar?
I mean, that's just so dependent on, like, what you view as a superstar. Like, I don't get caught up in that. I don't get caught up in that.
You know, I ask you,
I hate it, but I will say, when you say superstar, that's like five guys. That's not, I don't know if I'd say.
Okay. Done. Okay. That's it. Alex is winning right now so far, which is a surprise. Actually, this is a bit of an upset. All right. We'll go to this one right now. Would you run more offense through Bam or Tyler in a big playoff game right now?
Bam. I think because there's more of a variety of stuff you can do with him. I think creating from the high post, whether it's for himself or for others. And I think once he, you know, the more he keeps doing what he's doing right now, he's going to figure out that balance between setting other guys up and setting himself up. And I think Tyler can get involved with that. I think Bam, you can get Jimmy involved with that. You know, we saw that in last playoffs with how they, you know, he went to Jimmy in the high post. So I'm going Bam. Take the other big man out of the paint. I think that's what it comes down to.
Okay, that makes sense. And I can't ask. See, I would ask Greg this next question. I can't. You guys are not old enough for this. I was going to ask the Bam or Zoe defensive question, so I will just throw that out to our listeners, and maybe that becomes a topic for Greg.
Why don't you answer?
Another day. I guess I could answer, right? I actually think Bam is passing zone right now defensively, and that is kind of blasphemous for me to say. I should time myself, right? Here we go.
Okay, ready? Don't worry. Hold on. Don't worry.
You got it going. Okay, there you go. 6.7 points. Here's why I'll say this. I think Zoe, for his era, considering that he was undersized, considering everything that he was up against, going against guys like Shaq and Olajuwon and right down the line every single game, was miraculous. But they didn't ask Zoe to do as much as Bam is asked to do. And to me, that is the difference. And I think that's why he's elevated on it. And this is for all of us. We can all answer this.
That was 28. That was 28 seconds, by the way.
So I know, but that was way over. I kind of led into it. All right. This is for all of us. And you guys are old enough to actually get into this now. Okay. Will Bam finish his career as a top five player in Heat history?
Oh, you stole this from Al.
I'm going to go with yes. I just think by the time where he will rank defensively and the longevity of his career with Miami will weigh a lot on that situation. So I think he does end up.
Alex, I'll let you have a fresh 24. The ball's been checked out of bounds.
I'm doing the thing where I roll the ball up the court right now without actually touching
it. Yeah, Kyle hasn't picked it up yet. That's basically where you're at right now. Okay, it's been picked up in the front court now.
I was going to say no. Brady kind of swayed me. Because I think that the longevity stuff really changes the math there. He's going to be here a long time. He's already had an insane amount of success. Even though we don't think he has as much accolades as he should have between all-star teams, defensive team selections, and all that, it's already kind of there if you look at it. It's starting to stack up. Not to mention the success, not to mention the Team USA stuff, everything he does, everything he was responsible for. I think there's a pretty good chance he finishes right there at like fifth best player.
And Alex just took all my time. Here's the thing. He's not going to pass Dwayne. There's no way to pass Dwayne in Heat history. That one is entrenched. LeBron depends on how you feel about him, but unless Bam delivers two championships as a lead player, I don't think that you could put him quite there. Then the conversation comes in about Shaq. Bam, I think one title puts him ahead of Shaq, in my view, because again, the longevity is going to be there. And also, he didn't insult Chris Quinn and Ricky Davis on the way out the door, so that certainly helps. I think ultimately it could come down, because I think ultimately he passes Zoe, because of what I talked about earlier as his offensive game continues to develop. Remember, Zoe came to Miami at age 25. Bam just turned 26. And players play longer these days. And Zoe dealt with the kidney disease. So I do think he passes Zoe. I think ultimately it's going to come down to Bam or Jimmy. I think that's the conversation we're going to have. And that's going to be determined by how many years does Bam play as a top two player on the Heat after Jimmy's gone. It's kind of unknowable, but I'll say yes because of the longevity. I think he may push himself ahead of Jimmy. So don't hold us to any of these answers. I'm going to have Greg debate the Zoe. I'm going to have Greg and Sean Rochester debate the Zoe Bam thing with me, because I think that would be interesting. All right, thanks to Alex. Thanks to Brady. Thanks to our sponsors, Better Edge. Use code 5RSN. All Pro Construction Builders. I started going fast too late in the game here. Have a good night, everybody.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.